friends, this is Jim, program producer here at Compassion Radio. And I just want to encourage you right off the top to check out our brand new website at CompassionRadio.com. It's been a long time coming, and we're pretty excited about it, and we'd love to get your feedback. So check it out at CompassionRadio.com.
On today's Compassion Radio.
One side sees it as safety and security, and the other side sees it as basically the inside of a prison and every aspect of their life.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the palaces of kings to a humble manger, the gospel is coming to life in the hearts of people who meet the Prince of Peace. And we're the ones to bring you that story. Hello, and welcome to today's Compassion Radio. Since the days of King David, Bethlehem has been very special in the hearts of faithful believers, and that's doubly true for followers of Jesus. For more than 2,000 years, Christians have lived and worshiped in the little town where it all began. Just steps away from the very spot where eternity entered the world, Bethlehem Bible College trains today's missionaries, evangelists, and pastors for the daunting work of preaching the gospel all around the Palestinian territories and Muslim-majority countries. And now Bethlehem is in the crosshairs of every warring party in the Middle East and literally surrounded by massive concrete walls and razor wire. As strange as it may sound, it's exactly where God does his best work, and he's doing it through the young men and women of Bethlehem Bible College. Today, we'll meet someone who knows firsthand what it's like to be with Christ and his people at the checkpoint. Here's Bram to make introductions.
Friends, welcome to today's Compassion Radio. With me on the program today, we have a new friend, J.M. Smith. Welcome, J.M.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Now, you are a Bible teacher and a man of the world. You've traveled a lot. You've seen what God's been doing in many corners of it. And he called you out to do something very special and to connect with a group of believers that not many people will ever make the effort to connect with. And that's the believing body of Christ in the Middle East, specifically in the Palestinian territories, right up there against the wall next to Jerusalem and the official state of Israel. I think that's fascinating. We're looking forward to hearing more about that story today, so welcome aboard.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And if you could, real quickly, just tell us a little bit about your personal history again, about where you started and why you got so fascinated about the contemporary issues of the church in the Middle East.
As a Bible teacher, it all stemmed from theology initially. I was interested in seminary. I'd really delved into the book of Revelation and interpreting it in its original context rather than according to the headlines and the popular teachings that have swelled up around us since the mid-1800s. And I started to see just how deeply the book affects everything in our life today. And that led into the study of the different end times views and what people believe about the end of the world and the return of Christ and will there be a rapture? And if so, what does it look like and when it happened and all of that stuff? Well, you can't study any of that without leading naturally into politics and geopolitics, what's going on in the world, because even high-ranking officials in our government base political postures and positions and views on their end times views in many cases, and have done so since, you know, at least the late 70s, early 80s. And so that led to reexamining of the issues and what I had known and what I had always grown up hearing about Israeli-Palestinian conflict in the Middle East and Arab Christians. How does that affect modern politics? How does that affect how you view even things like peace treaties in the land? And, you know, seeing Christians saying that certain political leaders were assassinated as God's will because they signed peace treaties with the Arabs and things like that that were just so far out in left field. That led into the study of how do Christians that are as close to indigenous as you can find in the Middle East, how do they view things like end times and the identity of the church and the peoples of God? Is there two peoples of God? Is there one people of God? Did the church replace Israel? Did the church fulfill Israel? All of those issues, it just became a big, like, Gordian knot that I realized so many people get all jumbled together into one big issue, and they pick a side based on politics and maybe some theology, and then do their hermeneutics from that position rather than vice versa. So started teaching on that and exploring it and talking with friends over there. I got connected with a filmmaker named Porter Speakman Jr., who did the documentary called With God on Our Side, telling the story of the church in Bethlehem. And a number of the people from Bethlehem Bible College were in the video, and I reached out to him, and we connected. And then eventually, through the generous couple, I was able to go to Christ's Checkpoint in 2014. It naturally just spilled over into what's going on there on the ground.
And that fascinates me, because you're the kind of person that you would think, well, he's studying theology. He just studied more books, read more accounts of people who have engaged these big questions over the past few hundred years. But you went beyond that, and that's an point we need to make to our listeners, that it's a value and a virtue for Compassion Radio. We don't just settle for other people's accounts of things. We go and we do. And as God makes it possible for us to go to the world's toughest places, we go. And the place that he called you to go to actually see for yourself how the gospel is impacting the people of the 21st century was right at the very cradle of Christianity, which was in Bethlehem. And you, in turn, pursued an opportunity to go study with the Christians at Bethlehem Bible College at their Christ at the Checkpoint Conference. I know that Norm, our speaker for many years, has been active in that whole movement and has brought the attention of that conference to our audience more than once. Now, there are so many issues, of course, that are spinning around, and to figure out how to get your head above water, you've got to go in deep before you can figure out where the surface is. And you did that. You got yourself into the thick of things in the Middle East because you really wanted to know what God was doing, what he was saying through his word and through his church in the modern era. The Christ at the Checkpoint Conference is kind of a crucial crossroads for you. So explain a little bit for our audience what the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference is, and how you got involved, and what the fruit of that was in your life.
Well, it was organized by, as far as I know, Christians in Bethlehem, through Bethlehem Bible College, and people there that have a real passion for biblical, for lack of a better word, social justice, but without all of the political baggage that comes along with it. Because these are Christians in Bethlehem. Some listeners may not know, but Bethlehem, the city, is largely contained within a wall. So in order to do your daily life in Bethlehem, you have to constantly go through checkpoints where soldiers, armed soldiers, check you, and you go through, it's like a metal cage, and you have to go there to go to work, to travel to any other village, to go to hospitals, things like that. And that is the source of so much frustration and anger, which often spills into violence and continues fueling the conflict. So the people of Bethlehem Bible College, some of the leaders, their goal was basically, okay, how, as Christians in this powder keg, how do we live according to Scripture? How do we be Christ at the checkpoint? Jesus' original words, his speeches, his sermons, his message was given to an occupied people in their own land.
Yes, it was.
The Sermon on the Mount, for instance, there has so much modern application, literally in levels that we in the West can't even begin to understand. But for the Christians in Bethlehem, it takes on new meaning. And his call to love your enemy, to turn the other cheek, to go 2 miles if someone makes you go 1 mile, I mean, those things are very much at the forefront of their daily experience.
Let's go through that daily experience real quick before we go to the conference itself. Describe for me a little bit more, JM, about the actual enclave that has become Bethlehem. Because when I traveled there back in the early 80s, it was pretty much an easy walk from the Bethlehem village up the hill to see Jerusalem in the distance. You got a feel for what it was like for the family of Jesus to walk up to the Temple Mount and to present him as required by the law, kind of immersed in that first century vibe, which was kind of neat because you actually could see the topography of the land and you could follow it. You could walk that distance. And now it's radically different.
Yes.
The issue we've got with that wall is not just some wall off in the distance. We're talking about a wall that literally encircles you. Imagine what the Berlin Wall might be for West Berlin. Feel like you're bottled in by all this massive city around you. Take that times 10, because the wall is now literally in your face, and it bottles you up in a little tiny bubble called Bethlehem. And this affects, of course, not just the Christian community, but the Muslim community that lives in this town. If you could describe it, JM, what it's like to actually be in the presence of this wall. Can you escape it, or do you see it everywhere you look?
You mentioned the Berlin Wall. In most of Bethlehem where it touches, it weaves its way through Bethlehem. The wall doesn't follow any borders of what would be known as the Green Line or the separation between Israel and Palestine. It actually weaves in throughout the land and strategically portions off big chunks of arable land. So it's an imposing structure. It's twice the height of the Berlin Wall in Bethlehem with, there's a military tower that overlooks the main street in Bethlehem so that soldiers can keep an eye on potential uprisings or get out tear gas or whatever's needed. While we were there last time, there were 3 tear gas volleys right outside the hotel because it's an ongoing source of strife. It encircles refugee camp there, and it's just become this big symbol of hopelessness and imprisonment for the people on the Palestinian side of it. For the people on the Israeli side, obviously it connotes a sense of safety and protection because it was built, according to them, to prevent suicide bombings during the Intifada a few years ago. One side sees it as safety and security, and the other side sees it as basically the inside of a prison.
Thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Compassion Radio. We're going to get you right back to the interview. Just wanted to let you know that in case you missed part of today's program, or any of our shows for that matter, you can listen back at any time that's convenient for you at CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back now to the interview.
One side sees it as safety and security, and the other side sees it as basically the inside of a prison and every aspect of their life.
And when you harken back to what you mentioned about Jesus growing up at a time of occupation, speaking the language of the occupiers to the occupiers and the language of the refugees and the oppressed to the oppressed, he crossed those lines. He was the checkpoint between those two worlds during that time. And you're saying that Bethlehem Bible College is trying to bring into the modern century that sensibility of being able to understand and love people on both sides of this divide.
Absolutely. And I was fascinated by the ability of Bethlehem Bible College to bring together international voices, but also Israeli, Jewish, Messianic voices, and actually bring together at the conference 2 of the speakers at Christ the Checkpoint 2014 that got the longest standing ovation were Messianic Jewish speakers.
Amen.
So to me, that is what the work of Christ is as much as anything, is that idea of reconciliation without backing down from calling out what is unjust, but doing it in a way that doesn't further alienate, that actually tries to bring people together and work together for something that's in the best interest of everyone. And that's ultimately reconciliation with God, but then also reconciliation with one another. BBC is doing that fantastically, in my opinion.
So how does it work at this conference? What kind of things do they do at Bethlehem Bible College to bring about reconciliation between the believing communities in Israel and the Palestinian territories, and between secular powers, or even between Muslim and secular or religious powers across that line? What kind of things do they do as practical?
The most practical thing, at least from my vantage point, as a Western evangelical in the South here in America, they bring people over, one, to get together and actually listen to each other, to talk to each other, to spend an extended period of time with each other, and to hear voices that they would not normally hear in their own echo chambers, whether that be the radical Palestinian justice movements, the BDS boycott movements, or any of that, or the Christian Zionist Stand With Israel flag-waving, IDF-supporting crowds. They force both sides to face truths that they may not want to hear at the conference from speakers who are invited. One of the most tangible things is, especially in our social media day and age where everybody gets into their own echo chamber and you read your own news from your own sources and your own theology from your own favorite preachers and teachers, BBC through Christ at the Checkpoint actually invited hundreds of us from all over the world to come and to actually listen to people, even people that we didn't agree with, in a spirit of we are all here together, we are all desiring peace, we are all followers of Jesus, and we have to figure out a way to live this in the mess without demanding clean, neat, short, soundbite answers, but to actually go through the struggle together. So that's one of the things, the most important thing of the conference. Bethlehem Bible College partners with organizations like Masalaha, which is basically, it's an organization for reconciliation that takes, as part of its ministry, Palestinian Arab students, like high school, and Israeli Jewish or Israeli Messianic students, and brings them together for camps out in the wilderness, like out in the desert. And they go and they camp and they live together, they camp together, they learn together, they get to know one another, they interact with each other. The kids from the Palestinian Arab side have to befriend and learn the story of one of their counterparts on the Israeli Messianic Jewish side, and vice versa. And then at the end of the camp, one of the things they have to do is tell the whole group the other person's story. So in other words, it creates a bridge. You have your two narratives. You have the Israeli narrative, you have the Palestinian narrative, and they are as diametrically opposed as you can get. What Bethlehem Bible College and organizations like Masalaha and others encourage people to do is actually find a bridging narrative that says, okay, I'm not going to deny your truth. You can't deny my truth either. So let's figure out in the midst of this what's going on, and let's pull the truth from both of our narratives and challenge each other on what may be falsehoods that we've come to embrace. And so that's just one example, but that's a very tangible, powerful way to break down ideological divides, is by putting a human face on it on the other side and saying, this is a person.
Now, politics and political solutions have to do with settling grievances or affirming truths to be evident to both sides. But it seems to me that a Christ-like peacemaker takes another dimension. It's not just about settling the facts or settling disputes. It's about establishing relationship. And if God is going to reconcile the world to himself, that we need to be reconcilers more than just ceasing from our own aggression, that we need to go beyond and become the one that cares and cares for creation, for other people, whether or not they believe what we believe. And it seems like Bethlehem Bible College is taking the lead right where they are, because it's an unavoidable reality, as we would say, an inconvenient truth. That wall is cutting through your neighborhood. You could literally walk by and touch it on your way to anywhere. They're facing that issue head on because it's right there for them, and they are in a fishbowl. So I marvel that they've made the effort to bring the whole world to them, not because it's a political issue for them to try to get the wall taken down, but because they truly want to be Christ in places where there are walls. And there are walls like this all over the planet. What's the lesson that you took away from your first encounter with this Christ at the Checkpoint Conference? And what do you think that American Christians need to know about areas of conflict and irreconcilable differences like what we have right now in the Palestinian territories?
Well, one of the mottos of the conference that the organizers have put together is, and for Bethlehem Bible College, is come and see. That's one of the things that they say, come and see. When you do a tour of the Holy Land, be sure it includes not just a stopover at the Church of the Nativity on your way to other sites on the safe side, quote, of the Green Line, but actually do a tour that includes the Palestinian narrative, and especially the Palestinian Christian narrative. I learned at the conference that we hear a lot that Christian population in the Middle East is dwindling, and that's true. The biggest causes for Christians in Palestine leaving the country, expatriating, number one was the lack of freedom of movement, and number two was the lack of economic opportunity. So Christ at the Checkpoint and Bethlehem Bible College have been very intentional about showing the world, hey, the church in the Middle East is dwindling, but we are not going to just leave, because the church is the hope of the world. And wherever there is conflict, wherever there is struggling, wherever there is hardship, that's usually where you can find the gospel at work, or where it's needed most.
And it's probably right where the gospel is most effective, too.
Oh, absolutely. Most applicable. When I talk here in the States, maybe debating about the Israel-Palestinian issue, and they're bringing up political things and just trying to keep it in a political mindset, I try to tell them, look, just spend 3 days in Bethlehem. Just meet the people, see what life is like. Cross the checkpoints. I went through the checkpoints multiple times while I was there. See what that's like in your daily life, and then read the Gospels. You'll come away with a much deeper appreciation for Jesus' words and how challenging they would have been and how infuriating they would have been to first century zealot nationalists. Well, that's the same thing today that Christians often face from zealous Palestinian rights activists, is they have to say, you're compromising, you're showing kindness, this is the enemy, these are the oppressors, you know, these are people that stole our land, blah, blah, blah. And the gospel comes in and gives a stark reminder that, yes, being Jesus means suffering under those things, but not suffering in silence. Suffering with a purpose and suffering with a higher perspective to see it's bigger than just whose land is this and what borders should be upheld. It goes all the way to the heart of who we are as people. Whose land is this? Well, the land is God's land. The land belongs to the Messiah under a theological understanding, not to any ethnic people group. God made very clear in Torah, Israel, I'm giving you this land on lease as my tenants, and I will drive you out the way I drove out the Canaanites if you don't obey me. So God is the ultimate owner of the land. Any political solutions long-term that don't take that into account will continue to generate the cycle of animosity and on vindictiveness and oppression, and one next group rises into power and takes over, and then the other group becomes the oppressed.
And again, if we just stick with political solutions, one set of people could have their truth, the other could have their truth, but there are truths about how bad it's been on both sides.
Yes.
And then in steps the church, and we need to recognize and make our listeners very aware right now that the Church of Christ is alive and well on both sides of this divide. Within Israel and within the Palestinian territories, there are believing Christians that are making a difference, who are living a gospel life. So we're not just looking for truths about who was wrong. We're looking for a gospel truth, which is that God is bringing His peace, His love, and His redemption to all mankind in the Middle East, in these territories that He already owns. And that's an important thing for us to grasp. We wrap up today's program. JM, would you be willing to stay with us for another segment? We'd love to talk some more about the Christ Checkpoint Conference, about your personal experience with the believers there in Bethlehem. Are you available for one more show?
Sure, absolutely.
We've had with us today J.M. Smith, a pastor from Charlotte, North Carolina, and a powerful voice for what's happening on the ground in the Middle East because he went there and because he pursued the Word of God to find out what it really meant to the believers in the Middle East. It's transformed his life and his work, and it should be transforming our perspective, too, and we're glad to have him with us today on Compassion Radio. Thanks again, J.M.
My pleasure.
That's a powerful firsthand perspective, some of the goings-on in the Holy Land here on Compassion Radio. And we look forward to hearing more from our special guest, J.M. Smith, on tomorrow's program. As we wind things down for today, let us turn again to the sage wisdom and counsel of our former president and host, Norm Nelson.
This is Dr. Norm Nelson, and I've got a personal word for you. What exactly is Compassion Radio? Well, you know, I love to answer that question. Compassion Radio is, of course, a thoroughly Christian radio program. But it's also more than a radio program. It is a ministry, a boots-on-the-ground ministry. That is, it serves the spiritual and material needs of people. In carrying out its ministry, it seeks to be obedient to the call of Christ to share His gospel and His compassion with the neediest people in the toughest places on earth. Our travels take us to places like Afghanistan, Burma, Bangladesh, Iran, Iraq, North Korea, Darfur in Sudan. These are the places to which God sends us here at Compassion Radio. And they are the places where your gifts to our compassion projects make such an incredible difference for the cause of Christ. His heart is always with the poor, always with the needy, always with the spiritually hungry. My friend, right now, as we approach year's end, we need your financial support. But you know, we depend 100% on listeners like you to carry out our calling. And in a very real sense, this is your ministry. Whatever is done through Compassion Radio is what you make possible. I'm asking you, send your best gift today. It is tax deductible, and Compassion Radio is a member in good standing of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's important because that certification is your guarantee that we meet the highest standards of financial integrity. Thanks so much, my friend, for standing with us here at Compassion Radio.
Friends, for decades, this ministry has gone to the places where virtually no other ministry or media agency has gone, to bring you the stories of God's victory and the amazing work of His people. Why do we do it? One, to encourage the faithful in some of the toughest places on earth. And two, to inspire you to exercise your faith in effective, knowledgeable prayer and through practical help to those that need to see the compassion of Jesus. A hallmark of this ministry for over two decades is our annual God's Word for China project. It's far and away our most popular project, and it's fairly simple to understand why. The church in China continues to grow at an astonishing rate, around 20,000 a day. That's around 7 million new believers a year in China. Every year, Compassion Radio partners like you play their part in helping supply the booming church with the Bibles they need to train the millions of new converts. We'll send absolutely as many of these Bibles as we can this year as you enable us to. We hope to send thousands and thousands of new Bibles through your above and beyond giving.
Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 a piece. How many Bibles would you like to send to the fastest growing church in the world in China? For your gift of $25 or more to our God's Word for China project as we close out 2017, we'd love to send you a handcrafted olive wood ornament made by believers in Bethlehem. Whether you hang it on your Christmas tree or find another special place to display this unique piece of art, any way you display it, you're proclaiming your solidarity with the Christians in China and your faithful partnership with Compassion Radio. Let us know how many you'd like when you contact us today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.